Good morning, Chevra. We're going to get underway. Good Shabbos. A good and President's Weekend to everyone. We want to thank our sponsors this morning. I know they're commemorating a Shloshim, the Gilbert family. We're marking the end of Shloshim. Where are you guys? There you guys are. Welcome. For Dr. Edward Gilbert, Yitzchak ben Moshe Ve'eta, and we'll learn le'ilui nishmato, neshama shavan aliyah. Shkoyach to the chevra. Thank you very much to all who prepared, to all who set up, and to all who are involved in cleaning, and we'll be learning as well. So, Parshas Kitisa is hard to walk by or pass by Parshas Kitisa without looking at the Erched HaEgel, right? The sin of the golden calf. One of the beautiful things about Torah learning is, as the Mishnah in Avos says, v'hafuchba dekolaba, right? You turn it over, you turn it this way, you turn it that way, and you find a lot, everything in it, and you find new things in it as well, right? Every year, hopefully a new understanding, a new sense, a new layer of understanding with our, with every year that we grow and we develop, we mature, we understand the world a little bit differently, and we see different ideas that help us understand some major, fundamental episodes in the Torah. So the Kli Yakar goes right in. Vayar ha'am ki bosheish Moshem. What he does is he says, "Look, I'm gonna. You'll see in a moment from the introduction. I'm gonna explicate." The psukim here, and I'm going to do my best to use the mefarshim and give my own little my understanding as well. Ra'o ra'iti, he says, ki rova mefarshim anigashim leva'er kol inyan satum shebatorah, that in general most of the commentaries that come close and try to explain difficult things in the Torah, inyan satum, right, something that's closed in the Torah, bikshulim so divrei chefetz. La'asir bin zera Avraham ha-mikudash lezut svatayim v'kalabisha asher yatzah aleim ha-pula megunazah. When it comes to Chet Egel, I found that many of the Mefarshim, or most of the Mefarshim, try to take away the sort of Lashon Hara, this bad kalabisha, means like, right, a bad bad talk, the bad reputation of the Jewish people. They try to take it away from the Zera Abraham, right? These are the children of Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And how could they have done such a thing? Ki ad she'amelech b'misibo nirdi natan recho. Because, a king gives forth a good, a pleasant fragrance. And the Jewish people, basically, he's like, they couldn't have done. This can't be. Now, it's interesting, right? There's we call this being an apologist, right? There's apologist language. There's like apologist Torah that you find like in the Gemara. This Gemara Maseches Shabbos that really literally goes just paragraph by paragraph and says anyone who says like any sin, any sort of explicit sin you saw in the Torah, Dov shaking his head, right? They knock it out. Say, anyone who says that Reuven sinned, that Yehuda sinned with Tamar, he's mistaken. Anyone who says that Reuven sinned, he's mistaken. Anyone who says that David HaMelech sinned, he's mistaken. It goes weiter, right? Anyone who says that the children of Eli sinned, children of Shmuel sinned, all these different sins that happened, it was very clear that they did things wrong. The Gemara goes to great lengths. I think it's Rabbi Natan Omer. He goes to try to give apologists, some apologist ideas. Well, maybe, no, they didn't mean it that way, or it came out this way, and maybe. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that. What it does mean is, in general, we try to be melamed zechus on people. We try to be able to see the positive. We try to see the best in people. And when we see something that's so out of character and that's so egregious, we try to figure out, well, maybe it wasn't so bad. Obviously, that could be dangerous, right? Because you have to look at something. If something terrible happened, you have to call us. You have to say something terrible. Apparently, I heard calling a spade a spade is a not allowed to say that anymore. I think it's like it's forbidden. Forbidden language.
We got
that's what I've heard. You got it, right? But you have to tell like it is, and you know, and a person needs to be punished for his crimes, so on and so forth. But on the flip side, you know, you have to be able to look at something and say, well, what's really happening here? Because a lot of times, you know, we could just look, and that, you know, that's a product of our society as well, as we see a snippet of something, or we see a meme or a tweet or whatever, like, oh, boom, that's it, right? No, life is nuanced. People are complicated. Situations are complex, and it takes a mature, wise person to recognize that. So he says, v'skim urobam afarshim, liklota kolar b'tzavar ha'erev rav milumdei ha'reya. He says, most of the farshim have agreed that really we should hang this albatross of the sin of the golden calf on the erev rav. V'hema hayu be'ochrei Yisrael. They were the stirrers. They stirred the pot within the Jewish people. V'chatu rishona, and they sinned first. V'achareihem togam Yisrael. And after that, the Jewish people followed suit. So it was the Erev Rav. Who are the Erev Rav? Right, the Erev Rav are the riffraff that joined the fray. They're the front runners. They jumped on the bandwagon of the Jewish people as Egypt was going down. They also might have been Egyptians. They might not have been Egyptians. They might have been literally a mixed multitude of different ethnicities, different slave peoples that were in that happened to be in Egypt at the time. And they're like, great, you know, well, yeah, we're going to go free. We'll run away. Fantastic. But they didn't really believe, and they were pagans. Therefore, for the honor of all of the house of Israel, I want to write a little bit and try to add my own little thing. Okay. Vayar ha'am, ze ha'erev rav. So when it says vayar ha'am, right, we've discussed this in the past. When it says ha'am, that's always a reference to the erev rav. That's a reference to the nation, those people. It's not Am Yisrael. Am Yisrael is different. Am Yisrael is Am Yisrael. Vayar ha'am, ze ha'erev rav. Ki b'chol makom, so it says vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe. The people saw, the nation saw, that Moshe was delayed, was tarried in coming down. So who is the Erev Rav? They start making problems. Ki b'chol makom ne'emar lashon ha'am al ha'plutim, k'mosh perish Rashi parashas Ba'alotzcha, al pasuk v'ayam ki misonim. Ki boshesh Moshe. Ya'am ki haya yadu lahem shelo olu mimitzrayim al pi Hashem. They knew to them, they knew that they only got, they didn't get out of Egypt through al pi Hashem. Ela Moshe ve'atzmo he'elam. Ve'at pi Hashem lo sha'al. According to them, Moshe was like this amazing sorcerer, you know, leader, something, right? He was some sort of demigod or whatever. And they worshipped him. And they looked at him. And in their view, he's saying, according to them, it wasn't God that took them out of Egypt. It was Moshe, right? And he has this, and he's got everything. We discussed this a few weeks ago, right? He has a staff, or he's a wand, he's got, you know, people, he's got... So, you know, sound and light show, that's Moshe. So he notes, and you'll see it throughout. We'll see this over the next few minutes. That when God tells Moshe, right, they're up on the mountain learning, and when God tells Moshe, you know, go down, like they've been corrupted. What does it say? Kishichet amcha. So the beautiful way of understanding the way I always looked at it is Reiki Shechet Amcha, right? It's like that time, you know, when your kid, you know, misbehaves or acts inappropriately. So what do you say to your wife? Right? You say, your sin, look what your son did, right? Like, that's what Moshe is saying. Look what your people did. That's not what the Kliyukar says. Kliyukar says, Ki Shechet Amcha, your people have been corrupted. Below Ami, not my nation, meaning, it's the people that believed in you, the Erev Rav, that don't believe in me. It's Amcha, meaning the people that were Moshe people, just Moshe frontrunners, Moshe, you know, bandwagon jumpers. They've been corrupted. L'umatzel mar Moshe, in kein hu, lama yechere Hashem ve'amecha, ve'lo ami. So then the answer back that Moshe gives Hashem, later, right, when he starts begging, you know, for their safety, for their protection, for the Jewish people's protection, he says, "Well, Hashem, then lama yechareh Hashem be'amecha? Then why are you upset with your people? Why would you be angry at your people if it wasn't your people that did anything? The regular Hamonam, the 90%, they're fine. Why are you mad at them? Right? Don't be angry at them. Don't destroy them. Be mad at my people. Be mad at the people. Hey, it's my fault. I led them astray. They went on their whatever it is." V'chasheshua Eirav Shim Lo Yavo Moshe Shama. The Eirav thought that if Moshe didn't come, Yitzaveh Hashem Legarsham Mitocha Eda. The Eirav were afraid. They were having an existential crisis. What was their crisis? We're Moshe people, right? This Yahweh thing, right? This Yudke Bubke God thing, who we don't really know so much about. If Moshe's gone, once Moshe's out of the picture, Hashem's going to kick us out, right? So we need something. We need a Moshe figure. Pen yachtiyum b'gilulei Mitzrayim kikashim gerim liYisrael kesapachat. You know, because perhaps, you know, whatever, we'll lead them astray, right? God doesn't like us. Moshe likes us. Almost like a good cop, bad cop thing going on. I mean, it's crazy. So then, why didn't we get rid of them, you know, l'chachila? Why did we allow them to come with us out of Egypt? Chashvu, we're on the next page. Shelichvod Moshe haya. They thought it was because God has respect for Moshe. Alkin chashvu tachbula levakesh manhig acher b'mkom Moshe. Therefore, they sought some method, some way that they could find another Moshe, right? Because Moshe's gone. Another Moshe. Kizem Moshe Aish lo yadanu mehayalo. Right? It says, they say that this guy Moshe, we need help, because this man Moshe, we don't know what happened to him. Ratzu lomar lo yadanu bame kocho gadol. Kivadai hayalo tmunat eze kochav asher bekocho haya manhig ve'ose nisim. What they were saying was, we don't know what Moshe's power was. Again, Moshe's a sorcerer, according to this, right? Moshe's some sort of powerful sorcerer. What did he have in his pocket? What star did he use to, or constellation did he use to find his power? We don't know what to do. What kind of thing we could make that would be like, meaning, again, if, according to them, Moshe didn't consult with God, and Moshe had his own independent power, well, you have to think like a pagan, right? He had to have gotten his independent power from some other independent source, some star, some astrological sign, something that they worshipped in ancient Egypt. Le'ata achiv yodea belisa feik mehaya hakliyahu. So who did they go to? They went to Aaron. Why? Oh, come on, Aaron. Give me the goods. You know what Moshe used. You know Moshe's tricks. You know. Alkein anu rotzin shetaaseh lanu eze demut shiye emtzai beineinu levein hakochavim. Therefore, we want you to make some sort of image that could be our intermediary between us and the stars. Moshe was an intermediary to the stars. Moshe, again, according to this. The hasatani ta'utam ki era lehem demut mitato shel Moshe ben shemaim la'aretz. And this is really fascinating. I never heard this before. So we know the Medrash of how the people saw, everyone knows this Medrash, right? How the people saw Moshe's coffin. This is the Erev Rab. They saw Moshe's casket floating in the sky. They see it floating and they're like, oh, Moshe's dead. We're done for. What is the Kliyaka says? No, what the pshat here was that it was floating bein shamayim la'aretz, between heaven and earth, to point out, or to drive home the point, lomar shehu haya kemo emtzai ben shamayim la'aretz, that Moshe was their intermediary. Moshe was the one that they worshipped. There wasn't a god in this equation, and he was the one who had powers right from above. Al kein ratzu hema be'eze emtzai acher. Therefore, they wanted some other intermediary. I mean, it sounds interesting. It sounds so Christian also to us, right? We're like, obviously, it's pagan, but like, it sounds Christian in a certain way, right? Because the intermediary, whatever. They wanted someone to be able to advocate on their behalf with, quote, the gods. They didn't know what to do. Vayomer lehem Aaron parkudnis me'a zahava sheber aznena shechem. So Aaron says, all right, take off, you know, the gold from your wives. And what Aaron was thinking, we all know this, right? We've heard this before. Aaron, obviously it was a stalling tactic, right? Because what was Aaron thinking? There's no way your wife's going to give you, oh God, we're going to make some great thing. Dude, like, you're not using my earrings to do that. That's straight. This is Torah. I'm not making it up. It's Torah. The Kliyakar says it. Others say it as well. I mean, it's black on white. It's ridiculous. And the women we know were more righteous than we were, than men were. Vayatzaro tobacheret. So then he says they threw it into the fire. And it's not clear what happened. Vashlicheu ba'esh vayetzei ha'egel hazeh. So the egel comes out. Belisa fikshi giloa emet. So Aaron had said to Moshe, that's what happened. They took the gold, somehow they got it, and they threw it into the fire, and this is what happened. So Aaron said, look, you'll melt down the gold, and then we'll make some sort of image. He figured, it's going to take a couple of days for this to happen. Again, all stalling tactics. It's going to take a day or two to really to melt the gold down, to fashion it into something. And Moshe would come down the mountain and be like, hey guys, what are you doing? What's up? You know, like that's what he wanted. And the Erev Rav used whatever, sorcery, magician, magic, whatever it is. No, but it happened really quickly. And before, and it got out of hand before Aaron knew it, right? We know that, right? Aaron did not intend for this to happen, but it got out of hand, right? So fine, whatever, they made it. Okay, now why an egel? They said, this is your God, Jewish people. He goes now, he's going to say, this is exactly, thank you so much, this is exactly my proof that the Jewish people, that the regular Hamonam, the 90 to 95% of Bnei Yisrael, did not do this. Why? I never thought about this. What did they say? Eile Elohecha Yisrael. This is your God, O Israel. So what is that? Mi amar al mi. Remember those tests that your kid, your who said to? Eile Elohecha Yisrael. The Erev Rav said to the Jewish people, here guys, look, this is your God, Israel, right? We're Erev Rav people. Eile Elohecha Yisrael. Guys, this is it. You're good. Moshe's gone. This is what we got. He says, "Mikan raya she erev rab ramru kein el Yisrael ki ich yomar Yisrael achad chaver el lecha Yisrael." Why would one Jew say to another, "Hey Jew, this is what a Jew," right? That doesn't make any sense, right? It's someone, another entity calling, referring to the Jewish people. Elavada she erev rab ramru kein li Yisrael umasheratzu laatotam bitzurat shor dafka. So why an ox or a bull or whatever? What they saw was that the Jewish people were really fond of gold and silver. It's so funny, because yesterday I was just learning a piece in Reb Cook, and he was saying how that's actually, that could be turned to a positive. Right here he goes straight with the basic idea that that's a negative, right? That they were collecting all of the booty and the spoils from the Yamsuf, right? When the sea fell back on the Egyptians and it was hard for them to leave. Al Kena Rushi Yisrael Yibcharu B'tzura Zo. Therefore, he figured this was good. The Jewish people are going to like this. The Erev Rav Ki Mimena Totzoda Zahav, right? Because an ox, a bull, if you look it up, what a bull or an ox represents in ancient Egypt, it was wealth, it was power, it was prestige, right? It was about gold. It was about the accumulation of gold. And that's why it says here, this is the God, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up from Egypt. But Moshe said, what's the difference between the Erev Rav saying, we were brought up, we were elevated from Egypt? Whereas Moshe says, no, God, look, you took them out of Egypt. What's the difference? What the way that the Erev Rav looked at it, why did they jump on the bandwagon of the Jewish people? Because it was just a matter of, oh, we're in Egypt. Ancient Egypt is the hub of civilization. You're getting destroyed. It's pathetic, right? This slave people, they're on the rise. So they literally, we want to jump on, literally, right? You know, Tom Brady's winning millions. I'm going to become a Patriot fan. Aikman's, I'm going to become a Cowboy fan. We know, right? We know what that's like in sports. But like in general, like, we're good. I'm good. We're going to join along. Asher ha'eluchem eretz Mitzrayim. Your wealth is going to be unbelievable power, prestige, etc. And that's the way they saw it. And that's what the shore to them, the ox represented. The other idea about the ox, and we'll close. You could see the rest on your own. The other idea about the ox is who's called an ox? It's Yosef. Okay, and it's very interesting. That the Erev Rav, so where's Yosef in the picture of Yetzias Mitzrayim? Yosef, right? Yosef's dead, right? What happened?
Bones.
His bones, right? They take the Arono Shel Yosef, they take the casket of Yosef, and they elevate it. It comes out from the Nile. It was like put in the bottom of the Nile according to the Medrash, and then there's some sort of something that happens, some midrashic mystical something, and the Aron is elevated, and then they, and Moshe, I can't leave without that. So they look at that and they say, oh, there's the power. There's the shore. It's Yosef, right? It's his prestige. It's his ability to whatever he was able to influence. That's another sort of thing, right? That maybe that was what Moshe, because we say that Moshe was the one who raised it and like sort of who can't leave without the Aron Shel Yosef. And that was, right, Bechor Shoro Hadarlo. That was, Yosef was the shore. He talks about that there as well. And basically, the way that he's going to unravel this and unpack this is, it's really not that bad what the Jewish people were doing. The Jewish people, right? What the Avrav did was horrific. What the Am did was, but what Amcha, the Am of Moshe did was terrible. But with the Jewish people, it even wasn't so bad. He even says, if you look at the second column, it says Vayakumu Litzachek. It says they got up to play games, to laugh, or whatever. And Rashi over there says, oh, it means Gilui Arayos, they were doing all these terrible, they were adultery and murder, and it was terrible. And the Kli Yakar says beautifully, he says, that's not really what happened, guys. Like, come on. There wasn't adultery and murder, okay? Right? What was there, though? He says, look at the Aseret HaDibro. Why does it say that it's... Why does it say that it's a hint to adultery and murderer? Because there, right? Because there were two sides. It's okay, Adam. It's okay. There were two sides to Aseret HaDibros, right? So what's next to adultery? Lo tinaf, lo tirtzach. What's next to murder? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Look at, right. Take the other side, right? If we're here's Anochi, right? Here's lo tirtzach. Next one. You can't have a graven image. Right? He says, that's what was going on. It's brilliant. So that's really what was going on. Right? There's no question they violated that. That's a problem, right? They got involved in this. They got mixed up, but it wasn't, they're not adultering and, you know, committing adultery and murdering. But yes, they are going against a belief, a strong belief in God and a repudiation of Avodah Zarah, of pagan life. And finally, just to give you, just to close it, if you look at the next page, and you see the way that Moshe davens for the Jewish people, it's again, it's very clear. Lama yomer Mitzrayim lemor bera hotziam laharogo tam beharim. Why would Egypt say that they were, you know, God took them out under this the sign of Ra'ad and just to kill them in the mountains? What Egyptians? Ask the Kliyakar. What Egyptian? Egypt's done. Egypt's dead. What are we worried about? What are Egypt's going to say? They've been destroyed. Who knows what, you know, they'll make a comeback in history, we know. But that's... So who was it? He's talking about the Erev Rav. He's talking about the people that came with you. Why should now the Erev Rav's going to say, oh my God, really, it was all a game and Moshe led them out so that God, this evil, right, the bad cop, that God could go ahead... Take care, Joel. Thank you. That God could go ahead and kill us, right, in the mountains. Terrible. Right? That would be terrible. He's specifically talking about those people. And then it says at the end, Here, Shuv Mecheron Apecha, right? Another pasuk we say all the time. Shuv Mecheron Apecha v'inachim al hara'a le'amecha. Hashem, Moshe saying it to Hashem. The evil, you want to destroy your people? Don't do it, God. They weren't so bad. It's not their fault. You wanna take out your wrath on someone? Okay, you got the air drop. No problem. Okay, they deserve it. But not everyone else. That would be a terrible chil Hashem. That wouldn't come out well. And that's why it sits here at the end. Vayina, second column, Vayinachem Hashem al hara'a asher diber la'asot le'amo. And God relented upon the evil, upon the bad, whatever calamity that might have happened to his people. Who's his people? Am Yisrael. Right? And yes, he says, yeah, Hashem, you know, meted out punishment little by little. But he didn't destroy us, he didn't whatever, because there was, you know, there were things that we did wrong, but it wasn't what it was. And that's really the beauty of the Cheta Egel story, perhaps, is really a story about the love that God has for Amo, for the Jewish people. How even in difficult situations, how even in, guess who is Melamed Zechus? Guess who is an apologist for the Jewish people? Hashem. Hashem is an apologist for the Jewish people. And if that doesn't fill us with some sense of pride, some sense of just a beauty in the relationship that we are meant to have with God, and God wants to have with us, you know, then I don't know what does. So that, you know, God willing, none of us should commit any sins that are similar to the Cheta Egel. But in the same way, we should always know that God is always looking out for our best interests and wants to bestow goodness upon us. And God forbid, not the opposite. Rabbi Chanan Mekashim, Baruch Hu, Lezakos Es Yisrael, Mefichah.